reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Therefore, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you 7 times in one day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I'm sorry,' you should forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted into the sea,' and it would obey you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday's Gospel about the wise virgins and the imminence of the Lord's return and our need not to procrastinate on seeking him in the present helps us to understand and apply the teachings of today's Gospel more urgently. When you read commentaries on this 17th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, it'll say it starts with 3 unrelated little sayings of Jesus. I don't think they're unrelated at all. Jesus first begins with the talk about scandals, and it would be better for us to be tossed into the bottom of the sea with a huge anchor around our neck than to lead a little one to sin. There's a story of an old man who, as he was dying, was visited by a priest. The man was very disturbed, and the priest didn't know exactly why he was so unquieted. And the man said, When I was a young boy, I lived in a city in which there was a major intersection. And as a prank with my fellow friends, I went, and there was a sign pointing in one direction to a city, and I turned it exactly in the opposite direction. He says, to this day, I will never know how many people I set down that wrong path. Sometimes by our own actions, by our words, by our omissions, we turn the sign around. Our entire life is supposed to be a signpost pointing toward the Lord. But sometimes when a kid sees us tell a white lie to a trooper who's pulled us off on the side of the road, when we prioritize something other than God on a Sunday, when we say it's not that big of a sin, it's a little one, we can get away with it because we're somehow in exceptional circumstances today, and others see it, we're pointing them away. Last week, it was very sad for me. A first grader in our CCD program pulls me aside, and he was crying a little bit, and I said, "What was wrong?" He said, "I asked my father to take me to Mass this morning. I'm so sorry we're late, Father, but he wouldn't take me. And I asked him over and over again, and he wouldn't take me. He didn't even tell me why." We've always got to look at our own actions to say, am I totally not only honed in on the Lord, but in such a way that others looking at me will just have to follow my example to see what the Christian life means? That's the first part of the Gospel. The second, which is totally dependent on it, Jesus tells us to be on guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you 7 times a day, but 7 times apologizes, forgive him. Probably the greatest scandal we set for the young is a lack of forgiveness. When someone in our family hurts us and we hold a grudge for decades, when we're constantly brooding about the injuries that we've suffered, when we hesitate to forgive, even though we pray regularly, Forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. We set a counter example. How many Christians in our country, for example, set a terrible witness with regard to the death penalty? If someone has committed this type of crime, vengeance is the only response. If we want to talk about justice, there are rare circumstances in which that's the exclusively just thing to do. It's an Old Testament morality, not something that's truly Christian. But when we set that type of example, we're keeping millstone companies in business. Jesus has forgiven us an unforgivable debt. In that parable of St. Matthew, we owe him the equivalent of $2 billion. And others owe us the equivalent of 10,000. When he forgives us a $2 billion debt and we're constantly forcing those who owe us 10,000 to pay up, or you're going to be in jail until the last farthing, we set a terrible scandal. Because the essence of Christianity is love. And the essence of love, as Christ showed us on the cross, is mercy. It's easy to love others, even the pagans do, when others are lovable. But it's hard to love when others absolutely don't deserve it. But that is the Christian standard, and it's meant to be ours. We're called to be the fathers of the prodigal son to others. Because Jesus says, be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Anything short is the greatest scandal we could commit. But this is hard. Jesus never pretended that the gospel in any part was easy. But this part, at times, turns out to be heroic. That's why the apostles, having heard these two parts, turn to Jesus and say, increase our faith. Jesus responds, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd be able to be an incredible landscaper, uprooting mulberry trees and planting them where they shouldn't be able to grow, in the middle of the sea. Says, that's where it begins, to start even small, but to recognize that even that small faith means that because of our trust in God, we trust in what he says, and we trust in his promise of help to assist us to put that into action. Today, as we come here to this Mass, like wise virgins, God willing, with our lamps lit out of love for the Lord, prioritizing the things of his kingdom more than anything else, we ask him, as the apostles did, to increase our faith so that we might always be guideposts like those five wise virgins, and that we might always forgive like Christ has forgiven us first.